This is a Rooster Teeth production.
December 19th, 1997. Silk Air Flight 185, a Boeing 737 with 104 people on board, has just taken off from Jakarta, Indonesia on its way to Singapore. The plane has reached cruising altitude at 35,000 feet and finished a discussion with air traffic control. 8 seconds later on the next radar sweep, the tower notices the plane is 400 feet lower than it should be. 24 seconds later, the plane has lost 15,000 feet of altitude. Seconds later, the plane crashes into the Musi River Delta at nearly the speed of sound. Sadly, nobody survives the impact. Investigators are baffled as they try to piece together the small remains of the plane. Two agencies investigate the incident and come up with different conclusions. What brought down Silk Air Flight 185? Find out on this episode of Black Box Down. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Black Box Down. It's Gus and Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
I want to give a quick disclaimer here. At the intro there, I said, what brought down Silk Air 185? Find out in this episode of Black Box Down. Just to be clear, there are two different conclusions from two different agencies here. So I don't know if we're going to like break the impasse here. Most of the world accepts one of the conclusions, only one country accepts the other one. And we'll get into that as we talk about this episode.
You will find out what happened. It just, you might have a choice.
It's a choose your own episode, but not really, because we're just going to go over everything. And you get to listen. You get to make your own decision about what you want to listen to. Before we get into it, as always, I want to remind you, follow us on social media at Black Box Down Pod. We recently had that episode with the planes that collided at the Detroit airport. And a lot of people were confused about the runway layout and the path that the planes took. We posted it on social media, makes it much more clear. There's a diagram that shows you exactly where they were going and what happened. Those runways and those taxiways can be a little confusing. Probably not as necessary for this episode. This is a lot more straightforward, but still, give us a follow anyway. Silk Air Flight 185, like I said, it's a passenger flight from Soekarno-Hatta International Airport in Jakarta, Indonesia, to the Singapore Changi Airport on December 19th, 1997. Side note, it's weird to say like Jakarta, Indonesia, and then just Singapore. It's like a person with one name, right? It's like Madonna or something. It's like Singapore. It's a city and a country, kind of.
Does the Vatican have an airport? I bet it does. It has a helicopter pad.
I'm sure they've got to have like a private airport, but I don't know. That's a good question.
I'll be flying into the Vatican today.
Vatican City has no airport, apparently, but Vatican City has a heliport in the western corner.
Okay.
Apparently, it's physically impossible to fit an airport into Vatican City. So that would explain it.
Now it is, but in the future.
Yeah, that's true. It could change.
They could go to space. They could go straight up.
That's true, but I'm sure that's going to have like exhaust, right? Like normally when we launch ships, way off in the distance because it like has all that exhaust that comes out.
I guess my dreams of astronaut popes
it'll still die
there.
They'll just have to go to Rome or something to get to space.
Okay, sorry. That's let's get on topic.
That's what the people come here for. They're coming for the Chris Insight about space pope.
Okay, so.
So the captain of this flight was Su Wei Ming, who was 45 years old, had about 7,173 flight hours. And the first officer was Duncan Ward, who was 23 years old, had about 2,500 flight hours. And like I said, the aircraft was a Boeing 737, less than a year old, pretty new, manufactured in February of 97. So it was only, 10 months old. Had about 2,238 hours on it and 1,306 cycles. And there were 5 flight attendants and 97 passengers on board as well. So the crew arrived in Jakarta the same day after flying a leg from Singapore. The flight operated normally. The crew made their preparations for the return leg back to Singapore. At 3:37 p.m. Jakarta time, Flight 185 took off from runway 25 right with the captain at the controls. They were cleared to 35,000 feet and to head directly to the Palembang VOR. And that's just like a waypoint that they were cleared out to.
Uh-huh.
10 minutes later, as the crew was passing through 24,000 feet, they requested to fly directly to the Pardee waypoint. Maybe this is one of those things that I'll put in social media showing you where these waypoints are. That way where they are. Get a little map.
I want to know where the Pardee waypoint is.
Oh, it's P-A-R-D-I. I was like, what's he talking about? It's like, P-A-R-D-I, Pardee.
Okay, sorry.
No, I didn't even think about that. So they were instructed to stand by and continue on their current path. Then 6 minutes later, the crew reported reaching 35,000 feet, and they were cleared directly to Pardee, P-A-R-D-I, And they were supposed to report when they were abeam to Palembang. And abeam means they were like at a right angle too, like directly at a 90 degree angle away from it.
Okay.
At 4:10 p.m., the controller informed Flight 185 that they were abeam to Palembang and instructed Flight 185 to contact Singapore Control when at Pardee. The crew acknowledges this, and that was the last transmission from the crew. And just incidentally, it was the first officer that they were talking to. It's the last time they hear from anyone. It's the first officer acknowledging air traffic control.
Okay.
Jakarta air traffic control radar showed the airplane was still at 35,000 feet at 4:12 and 9 seconds. But on the next radar return, 8 seconds later, the radar indicated the flight was 400 feet below where it should. So the committee examined the behaviors and relationship of the two pilots, and it was concluded that there was no difficulties in the relationship between the two. The first officer showed no unusual behavior or financial history. However, the captain had some interesting things come up. There was an incident previously where he pulled a cockpit voice recorder circuit breaker with the intention to preserve a conversation with his co-pilot, but then he reset the circuit breaker before the flight. This was considered a serious incident by management, and he was relieved of his line instructor pilot appointment. So he was an instructor, but because he tripped a CVR breaker one time, he was demoted, and they took away his instructor status.
So he pulled out the voice recorder one time to keep a recording?
To keep a conversation private.
Oh.
This was a different flight previously. He was speaking with his co-pilot, and he didn't want it recorded, so he pulled a circuit breaker while they were still on the ground, had the conversation, and then reset it before they took off. And you're never supposed to do that, right?
Yeah.
Like I said, there's no on-off switch for this. The only reason they have a circuit breaker is for troubleshooting or if something happens in flight. So he was demoted because of this, because this is a serious offense. It's not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
So he tried to reverse the decision for his demotion by the management. And although he was upset, the magnitude and the psychological impact could not be determined.
Did he say why he wanted to reset it and what conversation was he wanted to erase?
That wasn't in any of the documentation, just that he was having a private conversation and didn't want it recorded, which, I mean, maybe not have it on the plane, right? I mean,
yeah.
Maybe talk about it before you get on the plane, or maybe be like, I'm going to tell you about this after the flight. There's plenty of places you can talk about it and not have a recording device.
Yeah.
So they also looked into his financial history from 1990 to 1997, and it was found that he had accumulated losses from stock market trading between 1993 and 1997, with a small marginal gain in 1997. Analysis of his net monthly income available for discretionary and general out-of-pocket expenses based on a monthly combined gross income of his salary and his wife's salary showed that he had a relatively minor monthly cash shortfall at the time of the accident. So he was spending a little more than he was making right around the time of the accident. His recent behavior was analyzed from statements made by family members, friends, and peers during interviews. His family reported no recent changes in his behavior. Work associates who observed him on the day of the accident and on his most recent flights reported nothing odd or unusual in his behavior. And the NTSC concluded the combination of financial situation and his work-related events could be stressors on him. However, the NTSC could not determine the magnitude of these stressors and its impact on his behavior.
Yeah.
There were some additional... Again, now we're at the point of this episode where there's differing opinions.
Okay.
I've seen documentaries about this specific incident, and we're going to get into what the NTSB says here in a bit. There were other extenuating circumstances that really aren't covered by the NTSC here. There was kind of a stock market downturn around this time. Mm-hmm. And like I said, he had accumulated some losses in the stock market, and he owed a lot of money. That was due the day he was supposed to return to Singapore, like the day of this accident. He had also recently taken out some life insurance that became active on the day of this accident. It turned out that the life insurance thing was kind of a coincidence. It gets passed off as a coincidence. The life insurance thing was part of a mortgage that it was like a standard operating procedure for a mortgage he was getting. He was supposed to have life insurance as a result of that. And it just so happened that it became active this day. So I don't know. It's a coincidence maybe, or maybe he planned it that way. I don't know. It's just really weird that the day a life insurance becomes active is the day that a plane crashes that he's flying.
Yeah, that's pretty suspect.
But it gets written off as being coincidence because it was related to the mortgage, but still, it's really weird that it happened at this time. It's also really weird he owed a lot of money the day he was supposed to return back to Singapore. It kind of gets glossed over a little bit.
How much money did he lose in the stock market?
So he had losses of about $1.2 million. So he was pretty behind. Like I said, he was turning it around. He had some marginal gains in 1997, but He'd been losing money for a couple of years.
Man.
I actually also, while I was looking this up, I found the conversation he was trying to hide when he popped the cockpit voice recorder earlier. I hadn't seen this when we were doing our research. I didn't think to look it up. I'm glad you asked. So apparently what had happened was a few months before this crash, he had messed up on a landing approach and the plane that he was piloting had to go around for a second approach. And to cover up his mistake, he had turned off the cockpit voice recorder to try to like erase the recording of what had happened. And it was his co-pilot who turned him in and made a formal complaint to the airline.
Oh, he tried to erase his mistake? What?
Right. Mm. Which is pretty damning. I can't believe this wasn't in... Well, so a lot of this research that we do for this comes from the NTSC report. Uh-huh. And as you probably guessed by now, the NTSC does not say that he intentionally crashed the plane. Little spoiler for what's coming up. So the NTSC omits a lot of these facts. And we had to go around and like try to find other sources for what was happening. And that's why this specific incident was not outlined in the NTSC report. I found this in a Wall Street Journal article right now while I was looking up his financial losses in the stock market.
He flipped the breaker that time and it popped up on the recording, correct?
I don't know if it popped up, but typically when you pop the breaker, there will be like a thing. Yeah, you see it.